In this episode, I'm talking to the CEO of Inigo Bio, Maya Itkinen. Inigo Bio are a biotech food company making egg proteins without chickens. The commercial demand for egg proteins accounts for a third of all eggs, and demand is rising. The cruelty experienced by egg-producing chickens is no mystery to us, and so Inigo have provided a real solution to this problem, hopefully. So does that mean that battery egg-making factories will become a thing of the past? Welcome to another episode of Future of Foods Interviews with me, Alex Crisp. You can catch all episodes of Future of Foods Interviews on all main podcast channels, Substack and YouTube. Okay, so thank you, Maya Itkinen, from the CEO of Inigo Bio Limited, which is a game changer. It's a game changer in food biotechnology. You've created an animal-free egg protein using precision fermentation. Can you tell us a little bit more about Inigo Bio and yourself? If you just introduce yourself to us, please.
Sure. Thanks, Alex. Yes, great to be here. So indeed, Inigo is a food biotech company that works in this next generation animal protein industry. So we have a very specific technology that helps us to cater to the needs of the food industry with proteins that are more stable, more environmental friendly, and more functional for the end products. So just to say that we are kind of like taking the best from the old world, the good old eggs, and then the new world, that is the better, more efficient way of producing these proteins. So it's kind of like a very different mindset in that sense. Myself, well, I'm a startup entrepreneur, so this is kind of like my way of being in this world. So this is my third company already. I built and exited two tech companies before this already. So it's kind of like, I would say it's more than work for me to be building these startups. It's like my way of having an impact in this world. I have a very different kind of background, so not very typical because I'm actually a designer. But I think it's more kind of like nowadays on this that I see that I'm designing companies, not so much designing services or products. But it's kind of like way of seeing the world and way of seeing the alternative future. I would say that that's kind of like it's very, very important for myself. And I'm also a big tech lover. So I see that it's kind of like, in a way, like this design mindset of having this technology and you still need to create this way of making it available for people and customers in order to really be impactful towards something that means a lot. So yeah, my brief overview of Inigo and myself.
Okay. And your background is also in food as well, is it? Before you started Inigo.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, my previous startup was in plant proteins. So that was kind of like, I would say, the first wave of this kind of like new kind of food companies. So we founded that in 2015 with a couple of food scientists. In the beginning, even just the basic that, you know, where is food coming from? Is food coming from just some big corporation that has been doing food forever? Maybe some farmers union, some animal protein kind of like a cooperation or something like that? Or could it actually come the same way as the other products and services that we are using every day? So kind of just bringing more this like startup way of doing things and creating impact into the food. So that was actually very, very new back in 2015 when we started the previous one. Yeah. So I still remember somebody saying that, I was saying that this is like the food tech company. Somebody was telling me like, no, you can be a food company or a tech company, but you can't be a food tech company. So just say that, you know, like less than 10 years ago, that was still the mindset for many. So now we are in a very, very different position because there's been this amazing wave of great companies. Of course, there are ups and downs and so on, but still nobody's questioning that anymore, that can you actually design next generation food products by startups? So that's already a big achievement.
Yes, there are some amazing companies designing some incredible products out there.
Yeah.
So your product, which is an animal-free egg protein, can you explain what that is? I mean, are you producing eggs, or are you? I mean, it's the egg whites specifically, isn't it?
Yeah, so well, we're basically just isolating this super functional single protein ingredient from the eggs. So believe it or not, egg has all kinds of other things that don't have anything to do with this foaminess or chelation and all of that, why eggs are really used in the food products. So there's basically this magical ingredient called ovalbumin. So that's one of the proteins in the eggs. And that's really like the main protein. So about 60% of the egg proteins is this ovalbumin. So basically the rest is just something, that's it's there for the baby chicken, but doesn't really contribute to the foaminess, to the chelation and these functions. So we're just making this one protein and you actually don't need to have the whole egg in order to really give these functionalities to the applications. So that's what we're doing. We're making this bioidentical ovalbumin protein that has the exact same nutritional composition as the chicken-based egg white has, or the chicken-based ovalbumin has. Yeah, I mean, we can even hypercharge those functionalities that is even stronger in them than the animal-based eggs.
Okay. So what does it look like then, the product? And when it's sold, is it in a powder, or is it in a sort of jelly? How does it?
It's powder because I mean egg has about 90% water, so that doesn't really make much sense to transport that water around the world and or pay for the storage space for storing water. So yeah, I mean this is already very common for the food industry that they're using these powdered eggs. So they're
Okay.
using either the powdered whole egg or the powdered egg white or the powdered yolk product. So that's already very, very common. So basically nothing needs to be changed in the recipes in that sense. But yeah, I mean, when you add this 90% water, there is your egg white.
Okay.
So we are,
Okay.
yes, indeed, we're making this powdered egg.
Okay. Now I wrote an article recently about sort of male chicks, about the sort of slaughter of male chicks at birth because they are not useful for laying eggs, and there are sort of hundreds of millions of male chicks that are slaughtered every year. So I was wondering whether it was a welfare problem which drove you to start up this company called Inigo Bio, or whether there was a food problem which you thought needed fixing. What was the drive?
Yeah, Alex, unfortunately, I think that I would rather be the male chick that is being slaughtered from day one than being this female chicken who needs to be there for around 72 weeks. The practices are extremely cruel. So they are like most of these birds, they are living with bone fractures their whole life. So almost 100% of these birds have bone fractures, because the people are putting them to give these eggs like far too early. Then also like people always want to be more efficient, how to get more eggs. This development started like thousands and thousands of years ago. The birds were just giving you maybe like one egg per month or so. So it's like now they give one per day, which has like it comes with some consequences. So the welfare of the birds is extremely low. I would say that that's really like the most abused animal in this planet. And I mean these practices include things like forced molting, sleep prevention, squeezing how many birds in a very, very narrow space. So I would rather be the male chick.
Right. Okay.
It's very nasty. I mean, and at the same time, you know, we are still having these problems that how to make it more efficient. Well, this is the solution. I always say that I think that, you know, this way of producing this protein in the bioreactor, that's kind of the real factory farming. You know, you actually don't need to have the animals for that. You could just have this super efficient process where nobody needs to suffer.
So do you think that the message isn't really getting out at how badly chickens are treated? You know.
I would say that there are a lot of articles about that, and I mean, I'm actually quite happy to see that there are a lot of these like super neutral articles about those things. So not only this kind of like activist mode, because this is not, of course, it's not always the right way. So there are like a lot of messages about that just circulating. But you know, I think that people are more or less just thinking that there's nothing to do. You know, like if you just have to somehow survive. This is most popular protein in the world. So like it's very difficult to imagine how could we live without that. So it's just kind of like then you have like even more burning problems to say that you have the avian flu. So the avian flu comes, like you have a farm of 5 million birds, and then one of them has avian flu. So you just get rid of all of them. So these things are just kind of like almost like more burning issues in a way, that these basic issues are kind of like forgotten sometimes. But I also see that my kind of like my philosophy is always that when there's business in place, you know, when there's a better solution that somebody can earn money from, that always helps. So that's why we created Donego.
Now I'm not now I mean obviously there's a lot of industrial use for eggs, right? You know, the only things I am aware of is how I would use an egg. So, you know, there's a lot of eggs used in baking and kind of various things, which is, I suspect, what you are going to be feeding your products into, or kind of selling your product more on an on an industrial level rather than in a kind of
Exactly.
domestic way.
About one third of the eggs are going to industrial use. So basically, like one in three eggs is going to be either used in liquid format or powder format or somehow a further processed format in the industrial applications. So there's like all kinds of bakery products, all kinds of like formed products and oven dishes, like a candies, like condiments, snack products, like battering, for example, battering, just a simple battering for all kinds of things. Even that consumes like huge amounts of this ingredient. So I have to say that I think that egg is exactly like you say. It's kind of like this hidden, you know, it's like we don't even recognize it's there unless egg allergy. Many people say that, oh, you know, you absolutely know that once you have the egg allergy, then you know that it's actually like in most of the products. Just having like just these simple functionalities just to kind of control the kind of moisture in the products and having the certain type of a bite resistance or crunchiness or all of these things. So it's mainly like there for these characteristics of the end products that we don't necessarily even think that we are actually eating eggs.
So I suppose your product, at least in the early stages, it isn't really going to be on the supermarket shelves for people to buy. It's going to be more sold kind of directly to sort of factories, companies, and that sort of thing. Is that right?
Yeah, well, that's exactly our plan, and the main reason for that is that there is such a big burning need for this kind of product. So we are talking to many of these big food manufacturers, and all of them say that it's just not sustainable anymore. We just can't survive with this. You know, it's like far too big losses of these prices going up and down, and availability, same thing, up and down. So it's like it's so much needed in there, and we say that it's also that. We don't want to start educating people that now please use this powdered egg instead of your liquid eggs. So it's just that we are actually doing like a big favor for the egg manufacturers if we can make this work, you know, that some of the burden for making this big volume, mass volume, bulk ingredients, we can do that so that they could produce these breakfast eggs with the maybe better conditions for the birds, maybe like better conditions for the workers, all of that stuff, so that the price could be even higher for that, instead of just, you know, like having big effort on making this this big volumes.
Okay. And your product is ready to go now, right? It's kind of, you know, it's available. It's had approval where it needs approval, and it's ready to sell.
Well, yeah, no, not quite. I mean, the approval thing is still something that takes a long time. So yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny. I would say that like we are working on the ingredient that is so well known. You know, this egg protein, everybody's eating it. And also we're working with the technology that actually is very well known as well. So this is something that the technology is exactly the same as was used for making this different enzymes, like for example, rennet for the cheese making, or different flavors, or kind of like a color components, or citric acids, this kind of like food aids. So those are made with the same technology, and we are also like just eating that every day. So it's really proven that it's not dangerous. It's like a common way of making this. The only difference is that we are not just making this main protein. So just making this main protein with the same technology that is used for the others, that's novel. So in a way, we don't think that it's really novel, but in the regulation, it is novel. So that means that we need to go through this novel food regulation. And yeah, that's taking a long time. It's a little bit faster in the United States, so we need to start in there. Eventually we will be everywhere, you know, because there is no other way. We just have to get this kind of product in the market.
Yeah, I suppose because there are lots of startups creating lots of new products, there's a bit of a backlog with the regulators at the moment with kind of various foodstuffs.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of like the I would say that that's kind of like the nice way of saying that. The other side of the coin is that there, I believe that there's also like a lot of these kind of like fences that are built that no nothing could actually threaten the old way of making products. But like I said earlier, we are really not competing against the egg industry. We are there to help the egg industry. So there should not be this kind of like comparison that could
Right.
outside.
So do you suspect that there are, you know, sticks being put in the spokes by the egg industry, that they are kind of slowing down the process, perhaps somehow, you know, sort of lobbying powers or something like that?
Not necessarily just the egg industry. I mean, everybody who we have seen from the egg industry, they always just have one question: can I invest? So they really seem to understand. But I would say it's more kind of like in the structures, you know, kind of like in this bigger system level thinking that, you know, how we have actually built all of these. So I would say that it's a little bit like kind of like more traditional, more kind of like this like longer term thinking
Okay.
causing it. Not necessarily so that somebody would right now be kind of like trying to slow us down. I don't believe that actually.
Okay. Okay. So with all that in mind, when do you think the product will be ready and sold and the company being profitable?
Yeah, no, I mean, we are already now making this customer trial or consumer trials with these different food companies. So absolutely, we will be already selling it next year. Then, well, to be profitable, it takes a couple of years still. But we have a good pathway to that. So this is something that makes Anego so special, is that we have this technology that is really well known and mastered. So the basic part of the technology is something that is really, it's been used for decades. So not something that we kind of need to invent. We're just adjusting that into this main protein making instead of the additive making.
Okay.
So this path to profitability, of course, is coming from the unit cost, how much is the process costing, and all of that. But yeah, I mean, this is something that I would say that Onego masters extremely well.
So in regard to the production, will you be using sort of third party kind of bioreactors, or will you be building your own bioreactors for the fermentation?
Yeah, our plan is to start with the partner so that we can first like just optimize and finalize the process with the partners. But I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, you need to own your own manufacturing because I mean, when you're in the manufacturing business, that's just you just need to own it. I mean, Elon Musk didn't ask a third party to manufacture his Teslas, so it really needs to be like in the company who actually owns the business. But yeah, I mean, getting these partners in place in the beginning, and also, of course, it's also about the geographies that like starting in one market, some market is already up and running, etc. So yeah, absolutely. We definitely do believe that having great partnerships plays a crucial role in there.
So are you applying for regulatory approval in lots of different countries at the same time, or are you going to start in the USA? You said that you're starting there.
We're
What's the
starting in the
plan?
USA, but I mean, everything else is just taking a longer time. So
Okay.
we're starting in the US, but then yeah, simultaneously just like getting ourselves moving towards selling the products elsewhere as well.
And you
Yeah.
suspect that it'll be that you'll have approval kind of ready to sell the product next year?
Yeah, the first approvals will be next year. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, they've confirmed that, have they?
Well, we know how the process goes, and because we have a known product or and a known known process, so we don't really see like that big bottlenecks in there.
Okay. And I suspect that you already have lots of customers kind of waiting to get hold of the product. As soon as you have approval, you'll have the sales, I suspect. It'll be quite a quick pickup.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have to say that, I mean, this is really like such a strong area for Onego that the product is something that everybody understands. Like just ask any chef or food scientist, they would know why egg is needed. And especially when the supply chain is at the moment in this shape what it is now. So with avian flus and cage bans and all of that stuff, they really, really need the product. So if they both understand the product and need the product, normally, that's a good recipe for the successful business. So
Yeah.
absolutely, there are a lot of customers very, very interested in the product. They are even more interested when they have tried it and tested and see that it really works. It really makes their cakes and balls and bars and shakes and all of that. So
Yeah.
it really works. So yes, absolutely.
I suppose also for them it's about price, isn't it? So are you able to produce it at kind of good enough capacity that the price is cheaper or at least at parity to what they're getting at the moment.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's exactly like the power of this technology that you need to know that you can really make it in price parity. So otherwise, it would be just like hoping for the best and, like one day something would change. But I mean, that's exactly how we have built the business case that it comes with the same price. So we don't really need to sell this green premium for anyone, but it's more or less like this that it comes with 90% lower environmental footprint, but it comes with the same price and it works. So
Yeah.
we think that there's almost like no reason to say no for this solution that is also better for the environment. And honestly, I mean, of course, that is the main motivation for me and my team that we can actually help getting these more environmentally cautious products on the market. But in this case, we're just doing that by solving their problems, their real problems with the supply chain. So we see that that's a win-win-win.
Okay. So, with all that in mind, what do you think are your main barriers to market? What are going to be some of the speed bumps or hurdles going forward?
No, well, I mean, I already mentioned about this regulatory side, so that's clearly the biggest hurdle. I mean, it would be so cool to start already selling it because, like I said, this is a known plus known, but that's still unknown,
Yeah.
unfortunately. So that's absolutely like the biggest bottleneck. And then, of course, I mean, even if it's like an existing technology, you still need to adjust many things, and nobody has done that before. So it requires a lot of knowledge and abilities, and that also means money. So this current financial market is maybe not that optimal, but at the same time, Well, there's always money around, and especially this biomanufacturing, there is money for that, because we see that, or the government see that that's really like the only way of really solving many of these big problems of the humankind. So anyways, yeah, I would say that's the regulatory side and the resourcing, but those are both solvable, so just work.
So, if you don't think you're going to be profitable for another 2 or 3 years, do you have enough funds to keep you going that
Well,
time?
we just raised our latest funding round, so yes, absolutely. I mean, now we have a good situation.
Okay, and that can keep you going for 3 years at least.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Maya. It's been wonderful chatting to you, and I will let you get on with your day. Thank you very much for appearing on Future of Foods interviews.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure.